Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
Chad, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right for a warm day. Sunny, how are you doing?
No, just nice. Nice day outside, yes. Very nice.
Yeah, it was. Went to the union meeting today. I'm getting my ice and my coffee.
Okay.
It was kind of good news from our chairman that the article that I had posted earlier in the week from Automotive News, Detroit News, CNN reported it. I think Reuters reported out on it. Also, we heard about the layoff at Lansing Delta.
Yes.
And how they're going to be retaining jobs and moving jobs around. And supposedly 180 workers were going to be coming to the Flint truck plant. Our chairman reported out today when I asked him during the chairman's report that would be considered fake news. They don't know nothing about that. Our plant management manager does not know anything about that. Chairman doesn't know anything about that. So that was driven on behalf of the corporation for whatever reason. And that at this time, there is nobody coming to Flint Assembly from Lansing. But he did say, as I know, and he made that aware, he says that you know that with people who are being laid off from a plant, within 50 miles.
Right.
That some people probably will be offered a temporary opening, but he doesn't look for that to displace any of the temporary workers that we have right now. So that's what I got on that piece. Speaking of temporary. Our local 598 has petitioned Solidarity House. It's that their understanding under the language of the national and their local bylaws that for these people who are not getting 40 hours a week in, based on like the flex temps, that they should not have to pay any union dues.
Oh. Is that right?
And he says the mix-up has come because there were some that did a week orientation and then they did like a week training. And what happened was that flagged them because they're putting in the 40 hours, so they collected dues from them. And some of these people last week, believe it or not, received a refund from Local 598. On their dues.
I'll be damned.
So they are waiting for Detroit to come up with a decision. Until they do, they have went ahead and got some of these people their money back to them.
Well, that's good.
Until they wait. Yeah, until they get an official declaration or, official word back from the Solidarity House. And I'm just wondering how that's going to impact other temporaries and other facilities.
Yes, I was just thinking Rebecca myself.
Yes. So, interesting how this comes out. And so they're on behalf of, they're working on that on behalf of the temporaries.
But local 598 went ahead and did it before a final decision, right?
Yes.
That's I think that's very good. I think that's outstanding of 598 to do that.
I think so too. And our chairman was working diligently trying to get some answers. They went back over what they thought contractual language was. They went to the bylaws, our local bylaws. And that's the understanding that if you're not putting in 40 hours a week, you shouldn't have to pay the union dues. Yes, you pay your initiation fee. And yes, if there are weeks that you pay, if you put in your 40 hours, which I can see that coming as well as you know what I'm talking about. The summer months roll up.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they'll get some dues. They'll be able to have the opportunity to collect dues from some of these individuals. With that being said, about upcoming warmer months, our chairman got a round of ovation. As of right now, very few people have not been awarded vacation time that they've put in for the rest of the year because of the amount of temporaries that we have in right now. And I think he said that nobody has been denied a Saturday yet. So, pretty impressive.
Yes, it is, but it's early in the week, month, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Usually what, about the tail end of May, first week of June, is when it gets in the heavy, right through August.
Well, you know, when you first feel that 65 degree deal, there'll be a lot of people missing that day too.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just that first day, you know, that first crack in the weather from miserable to very nice, you always miss a bunch of people. But after that, it settles down till, you know, probably end of April, June, and then have fun. That's all I'm going to say. We had full crews and still struggled like hell.
Yeah.
You know.
Last Tuesday, of all days, Tuesday, we were hurting.
Tuesday?
Tuesday. I was, that had everybody perplexed. Even production had a hard time. With enough people to run.
Wow. Well, that's odd.
Yeah. So, I believe it's this next Sunday. I don't have a calendar right handy with me, but I believe it's the 26th. No, that wouldn't be right, would it?
26th is next Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, that is correct. You know, we work last Sunday, not today, but the last Sunday we worked.
Right.
And they're going to work this next Sunday again.
Are they really?
It will be
what shift?
Voluntarily, first shift, absolutely.
First shift, okay.
Yep.
I'm sure I know somebody will be going in.
Yeah, I don't think they would... I don't think they could schedule two shifts and man them both up. I don't.
No, probably not. Not with all the Saturdays stacked on each other. No, I don't think so. One shift.
That's what.
I remember back in the day, one shift on a Sunday was bad. They couldn't hardly start up. And one time it was so bad we left at 4 hours.
Wow.
And I came back for C crew. That was back in the C crew days when you made money.
Wow. Yeah. Funny you should say the ABC crew. One of our local trucking firms just went back to ABC crew.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. They're doing 3 12-hour days.
Oh,
I'm trying to remember how he told me this. They do 3 12-hour days, get paid 8 hours of overtime, and then they get 3 days off. Maybe it's three 12 hours.
36 hours.
That's 36 hours, and I'm missing something because.
Well, sometimes you don't work your 40. They pay you for the four and then four, you know, like 44 hours total.
Right. That's kind of how it was because they were getting paid. They're getting paid, you know, the 48 hours or whatever. And 8 hours was overtime. And then you get 3 days off. So
very nice.
Yeah. And then one of the crews is doing 4 10s. And then they get paid 8 hours. They got it covered. And
like
one of those is more preferred. Yep. And one of those is more preferred than the other two.
Right.
Which they jockeyed not only for the jobs, but which docks they're going to go to and stuff. And so we've been having some new drivers and everybody's kind of getting acclimated again. But some of these guys are real happy with their new work schedule.
Well, I can understand that, David, you know, but working, you know, you can't, to me, you can't work 12 hours on the line. You just can't. Once in a while, it'll be fine. Just every day. No. But
I
can see it for a truck driver. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Some of these guys are driving from the Saginaw way. So they're coming down here to, you know, drive for LSI.
Right.
So, I mean, the one guy, he's an older gentleman. He's all happy because he gets Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
That is nice. Get some overtime money.
I think he was on, like, the C-crew part of it. He works 4 10s, gets paid that extra 8 hours. And then he gets Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. And he's happy about that.
Yeah, I bet he is. That's awesome.
And we had talked about that now because it's been bounced around at least the docks because of the drivers. Are we going to go back to ABC crew? And I'm hearing
they were talking about it when I was there.
Right. I was talking to somebody. Remind me here in a little bit to go back to this conversation about the same old game. And I'll remember what we're talking about. But anyway, I was talking to somebody who's filling in for a position right now. And they said that they would probably never go back to ABC crew at Flint Assembly. At least not the way it was. Because I believe he told me that Ford, some of their Ford assembly plants, has an ABC crew where they pay straight wages.
Right, and that's what they wanted to do at the truck plant before I left. If they went back to ABC crew, they were only going to pay straight time, if you remember.
Right, and that was, it went right down the tube.
Yeah,
so,
it didn't go anywhere.
I think it's, me personally, in my opinion, I think it's only fair that if you're going to do, like the A crew and B crew, that's not so bad. But if you're the person who pulls the straw on the C crew, you're working a split shift. For a lot of people who don't know what we're talking about. A crew usually works Monday through Thursday, 10-hour shifts. B crew usually works Tuesday through Friday, second shift, 10-hour shifts. And then the C crew, would work Fridays and Saturdays days, then Sunday, Monday night.
Yes.
That way they're basically running around the clock for the majority of the week. I guess it's no different than what they're doing right now because you don't seem to have enough time to do preventive maintenance anyway.
Breakdowns. Right.
But with the ABC crew, because of the amount of hours that you're working, you can get, I think I figured out one time, 750 more trucks a month than what we are right now.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Now, with the money part of it, it's only fair that if you have somebody that's splitting up their week and working 2 days, days and two days, nights, I think it's only fair that, you know, I believe in the past that they paid time and a half on Saturday, wasn't it?
Here's how it was.
C crew? Okay.
Yeah, 10 and 10. Oh, yeah, time and a half on Saturday. But Sunday, of course, you got Sunday was, you got some kind of, okay, see, Sunday was second shift premium. Monday was second shift premium. Altogether, you worked 40 hours, you got paid 48. That's
right.
How it worked.
Right.
And you made, you know, you worked 2 hours extra on Sunday and Monday because it was 10-hour shift, so there's the other 4 hours. So you've got 4 hours of overtime on Saturday and on Sunday and Monday. Friday, you're just out of luck. So you made four. Yeah. I made a lot of money on C-Crew, but it was hell.
Right.
It was really bad. I can't tell you how bad it was. I had Ambien. You try to go to sleep and you're all wound up and you just can't do it, you know. And you had Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off. I like that.
Right.
Because I didn't do anything anyway. I'm a log.
Right.
So
those people could go in and work on some of their off days too, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I figured 48 hours in my pay was just fine. Once in a great, great while. If they are really, really hurting on my job, I didn't do none of that rotating stuff. I didn't believe in it, still don't.
Right.
And that's only my preference.
Well,
people that do.
And then you had, on the material half of it, you only have two shifts. You work material 5 days a week on days and 5 days a week on second. And then you had a rotating day off every week.
Right.
Which, of course, if you wanted to work, they would ask if you wanted to come in and work.
And
you could work sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time.
And, right. And, you know, that was doing 5-10-hour shifts. So, you know, that was, you could make some extra money that way, too.
Right.
That's why material used to be preferred to get into. But, you know, like everything else, you got to put more time in. If that's what you want, more money, you got to put more time in down there. So,
right.
Like you. Some people just happened the hours that they got and they took their days off. They got
one part of material.
Right.
Back in the late 70s, 80s, material was a fine thing to get into. But that changed real quick when we came back and, you know, from one layoff, I got transferred out. When we were bringing in the van.
Right.
And then.
Oh, the old G van.
Yeah. You guys really busted your hump, man. Now, back, you know, truck drivers work through their lunches and breaks and everything, and they got an extra hour off at the end of the shift. Or maybe some people got more than that off, but they busted their ass to do it. And back we had bolt box, those big old boxes full of whatever we needed, you know, on the line most of the time.
Sure. And we kind of went away from that. They don't really do that now.
No. You to get some of those parts, I don't know how many is in those half shafts. I don't know how many is in that rack anymore.
Right.
I don't remember. I used to be the team leader down there. I just don't remember.
There's 55 now in those. and get 55.
Okay. And get a little over an hour.
I mean, yeah. But then you got some of these things that these pork cart drivers are doing now that they have certain things line side. You only have 9 in a rack, and you're putting them on a majority of the vehicle. So you have a dual presentation, that's 18. So somebody calls for a part, you're busy doing one of the other parts, you got to hurry up, get back, and get the one part done. But, you know, you always keep in your mind, you know, I got a backup rack there, and I'm counting down on it, you know. So some of these racks have a 12-minute turnaround on them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And if, you know, if they get a truck,
you don't have
that,
time.
That part.
You don't have time to sit and talk. I know that.
No.
They're gone. They drop and go. Sort of reminds me
new.
When we had 7,000 people working there. It was a madhouse. Two lines going, three products on two lines. My gosh, it was busy in the aisleways.
Wow, 7,000 people, two lines, three products.
Yep, Suburban Blazer and pickup. And we had military. We had a military order we had to get out.
Right.
Nice camouflage.
Well, we did quite a few of those.
Yes, we did.
I mean, that was a good thing.
Oh, it absolutely was. Yeah.
The government wanted vehicles that were made in Flint, Michigan.
And they got them.
Yes. They got some good ones, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I worked some overtime out back. I would have to drive them out back. And doing those things are tanks. Because they didn't get what the regular Blazers got and Suburbans got. They got heavy duty everything.
Yeah, real heavy duty.
Uh-huh.
If I remember right. And, well, before you left, let's see, you've been gone what now? Going on 3 years?
3 years, April 1st.
Okay, 3 years. So we got to go back probably about 8. You remember when we got that special order from the Israeli Army?
Yes. Yes, I do remember that.
Remember they put just plain glass in there because they were going to take those out and put bulletproof glass in. Remember they had the special bulletproof tires? Everybody was going out the fire line to look at these special tires.
Those tires, yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
I looked those tires up here. We were talking about that this last week, and looked those tires up. And if I remember right, they're made by Goodyear. I can't remember the name of them. They look like they got like fig leaves going up around the sides,
right?
By the name. Anyway, those tires start at $800 a piece.
Yeah, I believe it.
And they're a little bit better than a run flat.
Seems like it had something underbody too. I can't remember. Seems like they had something.
Plating, if I remember right. I think you're right.
Yeah,
some kind of
plating.
I
thought was for like bombs, you know, rollover. But I'm not sure. I don't know how that would have. It would have stopped some of it, I guess.
And you're right. They had a different rear end in them. Heavy duty transfer case, heavy duty drivetrain, and then they had, if I remember right, they also got a special motor that was made for them, and it was made with the exhaust was. Just the exhaust from the back of the motor to the muffler. There was no catalytic converter. They ran a little better. They breathed a little better, and they sounded tough coming off the back.
Yeah,
So, other than that.
If Trump gets his way put some money in the military, maybe somebody be making some more vehicles for the Army. Who knows? For the military.
Right. And I'm sure Chevy, of course, would be there to make them. And Ford. Ford's got some off-road Raptor or something that, you know, I mean, we're not talking normal trucks. You know, we're talking four-wheel drive trucks. And I'm sure there might even be an application available for Chrysler, even though Chrysler's kind of hurting right now.
I'm just thinking that. Spread it all around, you know. If they can make it,
absolutely.
They have to be able to make it. And, well, I tell you, it was hell, but we put them out. But, man, it was hard.
Yeah. A lot of work. You had to bring in, if I remember right, you had to bring in special things. You had to move certain parts out of the way to bring in the special parts so that they could build those.
Yeah.
And it's rough when you're only, building, let's say you're building five or seven in a row, and then you got to go back in as a material person. You got to move that stock back out of the way and put the other stuff back in the line and then wait for it to, when the next run was going to happen. And
right.
If I remember right, we did a couple 300 of those vehicles for the Israeli army.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I was surprised how many I seen.
Our plant's done some pretty good things in the past. When we had the 560, I mean, we was making all sorts of applications to the super heavy duty trucks, and Swan trucks. Most of the Swan trucks that are still out there, the older ones are still the Chevy
still the
560. I have seen some new ones, and that's international. We know that Chevrolet is getting back into that business with international, so see what happens. Other than that, what else is there? Our shop committee, basically our shop chairman, met with the two shop committees at large. Had stressed that because of all the hours that are available this year and that we only have so many days off,
right.
They negotiated July 3rd off on our behalf, which is a Monday.
My God. That's nice.
Can use a vacation. Yeah.
Hold on. I just got to – hold on. Oh, go ahead. Finish. I'll read this tweet I just got off my phone, whatever it's called, message.
Okay. It's a tweet. You're right. If it's Twitter, it's a tweet. But the 3rd is a Monday. The 4th falls on a Tuesday. And, of course, they had a heavy run on people wanting July 5th off, basically first shift. So what they did was they got July 3rd off. You can either use a vacation day or you can have it as an excused absence. So that would give you an actual 4-day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll be needing that by July. That's nice.
And
that's
this last week they added a day back on that they had taken off the Saturday schedule. And there was not 30 days to where you could use the new program to go and ask for that.
Right.
We was also told today that if you want that day off, you get with your supervisor or your material coordinator, your manpower coordinator, and go through the process and tell them that you wish to have that day off. And they said there shouldn't be a problem. So kind of work through that too. Go ahead and read your tweet.
All right. I don't know what company he's talking about. I just wrote him back and asked him which company. But 60 Minutes tonight. He wants me to watch Americans teach Indians to take their jobs. And he writes, man, I couldn't do that shit, but I bet if they don't, they will not get their service package. So that's from Bob, Texas Bob. So
right.
It's tonight. I guess another company is making the workers teach some foreign workers to take their jobs. Man, oh, man. That'd
well,
be tough.
If you remember.
Let me get seven.
Disney
hold on for a second.
That.
Yes, Disney did. Because
sure.
The guy was all over the news on that one. Let me get 734 on. 734, you're on.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Oh, we got a new person.
I just
it's Rebecca from Sunnybrook Farm. Hi. Oh,
I needed to catch up on the news this week from listening to you guys because I haven't kept up.
No
so
kidding.
Just...
Ah, that's nice. We get Brian back in the saddle, we'll be all set.
Yeah.
I have to interrupt real quick. Michigan
interrupt.
Michigan State got beat by Kansas by 20. Final score was Kansas 90, Michigan State 70.
Oh, that breaks my heart. But Michigan, the seventh seed beat the second seed, Louisville, today by four, I believe. Four? Yes, four.
Yes,
and a nice comeback, too, by the way, by the Wolverines.
Yep.
So that was awesome. We go to the Sweet 16. I didn't see Ohio State anywhere in the tournament at all. Did they even make it?
I don't think they did.
Those Buckeyes suck. That's all I'll say. That's nice.
Really?
You're
going to say that?
What's that?
I said, really? You're going to say that? Usually you're like on here.
No, I'm being nice.
Okay.
I'm being nice. I'm just one of those nice guys.
Mm. Okay.
Scott, tell Rebecca what you heard today at the Union Hall about union dues.
Well, at our local, at least with the GM department, that there is been some concern around the temporaries and paying union dues. And they believe that if basically like the flex temps, people who aren't putting in 40 hours a week, they believe that they're reading the national contract and they're reflecting back on our bylaws, our local bylaws, that if these people aren't getting 40 hours a week, they should not have to pay union dues. So they started refunding some of local 598 members their union dues.
Really?
And they're waiting for a decision back from Detroit on this.
And
item. I bet
Rebecca's name has been mentioned just a few times. What do you think?
Well,
maybe
it should be somewhere up there.
I think done a lot. I think you did a lot, and they will never let you know that you've done a lot, but all of a sudden, things are popping.
What local was that?
598.
Local. 598, okay.
Right. Of course, that's in Michigan. I don't know how they operate in Ohio, you know what I mean?
And you said it was GM?
Yes.
Yeah.
GM,
GM.
Truck.
Okay.
Flint Truck.
Okay.
What assembly?
Okay.
Of course, they make trucks as an assembly line. Come on, Scott.
Right.
You're giving me
a fucking butt. That's great. That's great news.
Yes, it is.
I could really use that great news.
Uh oh.
Well. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a long waiting, you know, because I wrote that that the next appeal is just sitting there waiting till the Constitutional Convention. So, you know, I was thinking that nothing would happen until then. So, I mean, that is great news to hear.
I don't know how it got started in our plant unless somebody that's temp that is listens to the show or downloads the show. I don't know. But you're the one. I'm going to give you all the credit. I've never heard them ever giving union dues back. I was shocked when Scott told me. Nice. The long arm of Rebecca reached out and slapped somebody. There you go.
It'd be nice if that happened down at our place. That would be really nice about right now.
Well, this should start something. It should start something.
Good.
Well, like I said, that's with the temporaries who aren't getting 40 hours a week in right now.
And that's what Rebecca was fighting for. That's exactly what she was fighting for.
Right. So, because it says the Constitution does clearly say that. It just they were trying to say that it didn't have anything to do with the auto workers, that it was for non-traditional workers only. So, why it wouldn't pertain to all workers is beyond me. But especially since the actual Constitution was written for the auto workers, I would hope that it had to do something with them.
Well, 598 went on their own and paid this back out of their funds, and they'll get paid back through international once they make a decision. If it goes the right way, international will pay them back for their portion.
Right. Well, I had heard that there were some locals in Chrysler doing that, had noticed it, and nothing was, I don't know if they didn't approach the international about it or what was going on, but I did hear from some part-timers over in Indiana that the locals were taking care of them every few months, reimbursing them. And so I thought that was real positive. And so just the last probably, maybe it's been 4 or 5 months ago, the last time I talked to the Solidarity House about it, they had said, oh, you're not the first person that brought this up, which I had always told that I was, but they were like, you're not the person, that's the first time I heard that, you're not the first person that brought this up, and we've explained that this is what it means, and you're just the only person that's not really, you know, taken our word for that and moved on. And I said, well, I don't think that that's right, do you? I mean, look at this, how much you're taking in union dues when, until this year, I don't know how GM and Ford's contracts for part-timers worked out, but Chrysler's contract national agreement for part-time workers is now allowing them to have full union representation after 1 year. So, prior to that, we were not even getting representation, the right to representation, only if it was had to do with a discrimination issue. Anything else we didn't have a right to, and yet we were paying full union dues as if you're working a full-time job. So I don't know how anybody can look at that and say that even remotely looks honest and fair. You know, just taking all of that money and doing nothing, providing nothing.
I think you were also entitled to representation in cases of discharge.
Only if it has to do with discrimination. They stick on you're an at-will employee and you can be released for any reason. Now, I say that, and then I say, as I was looking into that and filing my first appeal, I spoke to the National Labor Relations Board, and just in our conversation about how to file and how to best handle my complaint, they heard me say, I'm aware part-time workers can be let go for any reason. I'm tired of hearing that. Don't say that to me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I mean, we hear it every day. You're a part-time worker. You can be released. You're an at-will employee. You can be released for any reason. And they said, if the companies are saying that, the companies can be investigated and held liable because that is a threat. You cannot tell part-time workers that. You are a union shop, and the union, when you're paying union dues, that takes precedence over your at-will status. So they should not be saying that at all to any worker, because technically in the state of Ohio anyway, every worker, including full-time workers, are at-will because it's an at-will state. So, but the fact that you're in a union shop, that takes precedence over the at-will situation. So they said that they shouldn't be saying that at all. Now, in our place, they stopped. That slowed down because I had gone to HR then, and I said, hey, you know, I talked to them, and they said, you shouldn't be saying that to us. And, you know, I kind of told everybody. And that really slowed down from what I gathered. Now I'm starting to get comments from people coming in again that they're starting to hear it again, which shouldn't be happening. But, yeah, we didn't have that either. The only – and it was clear in the contract. The only coverage you had for union representation was if it was a discrimination issue during your firing or while you were there. That was it. So so you could be let go because you came in and they didn't like the color of your shirt and you couldn't do anything about it. That was just how it was. That was how it was stated to everybody. And in some cases, if you talk to some of the workers, you'll hear things about, you know, I didn't do anything wrong or, you know, whatever. They just didn't like me. They let me go. And, you know, that kind of stuff was happening.
Or
I know,
bad mouth a local union.
Right. Exactly. Yes, exactly. You know, that you said something negative about somebody. I know for a time ours, and I really, really backed our chairman because he really worked hard and was supporting that. You know, I can't, things have really changed at our plant recently, and I can't say a whole lot about that. You know, that right now it has just been made clear to the part-time workers that you are not important. The full-time seniority workers, they will be placed and we will do whatever it takes to keep them working, and you just need to wait your turn. Now, you know, I understand, and I'm not saying that I don't agree that full-time workers and seniority workers have that privilege, and but you don't put that way. You don't treat employees, I don't care if they're part-time or full-time, like that, and especially when they're union brothers and sisters, and you spout off the solidarity and, you know, the unions, you know, works for everybody, and then you treat a group of people, you know, like they're dirt. It's not acceptable. I don't care who you are.
Well, I agree. It's not acceptable, but it's tolerated because the international executive staff who oversaw these national contracts allowed that to be basically fabricated right into our contract.
And I absolutely agree with that. I said that to those guys that came down from international. I told them, I said, this starts with you guys. And they all really felt that it was a local thing. And I said, these locals are going to treat part-time workers by example, like how you are treating them. Some of the locals at that point, and I'm sure that some of them still are like this. It's not ours anymore. But they didn't even know that part-time workers were actually union members. I mean, it was only a year ago when I had this online thing with somebody who was determined to tell me I was not a union member. And I had already been there for 2 years, and a union member for 2 years. And they told me to stay out of the conversation until I could show them a union card because I had no room to open my mouth. And I said, where do you want to meet? Because I have a card. And they said, I can't believe the union has come to this. And they just were, like, baffled.
Who did that?
It was a full-time worker. Worker.
What a bunch
and
of...
So,
you know,
isn't that something?
When you're having that conversation, say, you know, As far as I can remember, Dennis Williams never worked in my local. How about yours? You know, because he was the one that created the tier system.
Mm-hmm. And people don't, and they just don't realize it. I mean, they say tiers, but they make the worker. They make the worker responsible for it. And they're not the ones they hired in, being told they were being hired into a union shop and they were union members. What are you blaming them for? You need to stop. I'm so tired and I have to. I'm struggling because I have an attitude right now. I am tired.
That proves you're a shop rat.
I'm tired of people not holding the right people responsible. Get off of blaming part-time workers and get on the stick and hold your union of people who allowed this to be going on responsible. You're not doing that. Nobody is. And, one of the reasons that I ran for that position I did for was because part-time workers really need a representative. And I get grief about saying that every time I say it. They're like, they get you, we represent them, blah, blah, blah. And then I can tell you this story here. I'll try to make it brief. But I was at a union meeting we had two union meetings, one for our first and second shift. So in between the shifts, most of the committee was hanging out, and my brother showed up. And so I was introduced my brother to the rest of the people. And we were just kind of joking around. And somebody said, I was talking about running, and somebody says, well, you only care about part-time workers. I said, that's not true. I care about all workers. I said, you hear me spouting about part-time workers because nobody else is saying it. Nobody else is doing anything. And so somebody says, yells. Okay, so there's probably about a dozen people in the room right there. Yells, what's Rebecca care about? And everybody goes, part-time workers. Listen, you guys, I care about everybody. Why don't you guys care more? Why don't you care more? Why are you standing there acting like it's a bad thing? We're all equals. And they said, no, we're not. I said,
wow.
Well, I said, I'm sorry you feel that way. But, my constitution and my bylaws and my contract, we do have a supplement. Actually, I'm not part-time anymore, but... There's a supplemental for part-time. Everything else is the same. All the bylaws, my bylaws is the same as the part-time worker bylaws, and the Constitution is the same. And where does anybody get off treating a part-time worker differently? And I just have issue. I'm sorry. And I'm not. I can say that
right. In
a different light now. I mean, I don't think it's a different light for me, but if anybody has, issue with me saying it because I was a part-time worker, then I'm a full-time worker now, and I'm saying it now. It's not acceptable. It shouldn't happen.
Right.
And somebody needs to stand up and do something about it. And so there were a lot of people wanted me running so that they could have a sense that they had some representation. I have got nothing. The smear campaign that was out, the lies, hoping it dies all down someday soon, but I just heard a bunch of it today, and it's just like, really? Because I support part-time workers, you all are willing to go out and they have this kind of, awful, nasty campaign to make me look bad so that part-time workers won't get some representation. How sad is that? How sad?
That's terrible. But there's UAW members, some of them.
Right.
By the way, awesome. Let me add a little bit to that tweet earlier or whatever the hell this message, 60 Minutes, that 60-minute deal. It's IT workers, but more and more companies using loophole in H-1B visa, which was used to bring people in to take American workers' jobs. So it's going to be more on, I guess these are the IT workers. He doesn't know what company, but there's more and more companies using this loophole It's on 60 Minutes. I guess we're missing it.
Yeah. They come on at 7.
Damn. I'll have to get it online, find it. Do you want to see
right.
that?
There's all kinds of loopholes here. It's going to be amazing. If we don't, you know, I'll lose our job because there's plenty of loopholes that can get rid of all of us.
Right.
You know, and being an actuality of all of that, because they want to keep everything so general and not, you know, keep people going to these contract negotiations that have no knowledge or experience in contracts, and let the company continue to convince you that that you don't have to have it in writing. Just take their word for it, you know, and then we're all going to be out of jobs. That's what's going to happen because we're believing the I said so. It doesn't need to be in writing thing. So.
Right.
Or you know, our crooked leadership who is apparently taking all kinds of whatever bribes or whatever they're doing to take and line their pockets more and take away from the workers. You know, something that the workers could have gained instead. That's
right.
It's unfortunate.
Right. It's
very much.
Sorry about that.
Northeast Utilities, now called Eversource, was the train replacement. He said that him and his fellow staffers placed small American flags outside their offices as protest. But they said that they're using the H-1 bill been hijacked as the main highway to bring people from abroad and displace American workers. That's from a former representative, Bruce Morrison. So that's what they're talking about, is these people being displaced. Not only are they showing them other people how to do their job, but they're being replaced at a cheaper wage. So, I mean, that's sad.
Like you mentioned earlier, they did that at Disney.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they did. And you're right. If they didn't show the replacement how to do their job, they forfeited their severance package.
Oh, wow.
And I would have said, well,
I'm sad.
I would have said, see ya. See how that works out for you. You know? It would have been like a train wreck, I'm sure, for a while if they figured out something. But anyway, as I was saying earlier, same old, same old, same game being played. We have some people who are off the floor in the alternate committeeman's position that they're pulling off the floor because, as you know, we have elections coming up. And I've noticed that. I'm just keeping my mouth basically kind of quiet except for here on the show, saying that I've noticed the people who are off the floor who are not elected officials. So that game is being played again, Don.
Yeah.
So, speaking of elections, April 9th to 11th, they're going to be taking nominations. Elections will be on May 2nd to the 3rd for the executive board, CHOP committee at large, CHOP chairman, and then on May 15th, 16th and 17th for district committeemen. So
anybody we know going to be running?
Not that I'm aware of. People have asked me if I'm going to run for something, anything, and my answer is right now is, I don't think so. They enjoy what they have. They enjoy what they're getting. So let them have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's sad.
You and T-Bone, you and Terry Bice tried, and look what it got you.
Yeah. So I don't know yet. But anyway,
okay.
So that's
you
want to
go to 8:30? You want to go to 8:30 or what do you want to do? Tell me in a few minutes.
You've only got a few minutes. It's almost eight now.
Tell me in a couple anyway.
Yeah, we can run it to 8:30. We can do that. I got some
thing.
Stuff to throw out there.
Okay.
But, and our local is doing financially well.
Good.
When the financial statement comes out for next month, it should show that we have about $1.2 million in our account.
Good. Okay, so, Terry DeBias wrote me, and I'm sorry, Terry, I don't know when you did write me, but, it says 7:51. Watching that show, training these folks from India to take over your job. They can do it cheaper. Disney was mentioned. Yeah, Disney, they did the same thing. And threatened if you didn't do it, you were going to lose your severance package. So,
right.
Either way, your job, either way.
You know,
that's something. That crap has got to stop.
Well, I would hope that the new commander-in-chief would address that.
He said some good things the other day. When he was in Michigan. And buy American,
right.
And buy, hire Americans, and we're going to build more. We're going to build cars here. Now he can't, he's not going to get these plants to close plants in other countries. That's not going to happen. But he's lifting
right.
The EPA rules that Obama had on vehicles, which could never be met in that time period.
Right.
And highway safety standards, he's going to do something about that. I don't know. I listened to it. I don't know if you guys did it, but got a good reception from the UAW.
All right.
Well, most of UAW people voted for it. So,
Dennis Williams did come out and said, as far as the automotive industry part of it was, like you said, the fuel standards and highway safety and, the automotive stuff. He was pleasantly surprised and very supportive. But as far as everything else that the commander-in-chief endorses, that was against the ideology of the UAW.
Yeah, he's against the building of the wall.
If
they look
at Trump, but
you got to look at Schumer and Clinton. They voted for the wall in 2006. So, come on. Check what these people did. They wanted the wall at that time.
Right,
come on.
Right.
This is silly stuff.
But,
I think Trump is more a liberal than he is a Republican anyway. Definitely more than he is a conservative.
Well, we'll see.
But he's doing things.
I have realized. Not to be political, but I just realized that in the last month and a half or so, our country is divided in more ways than one.
Oh, it's terrible.
And,
yes, it is. Well, we both lost a friend over this thing.
If you step back and look at this just for a minute, and take all the different colored glasses off and look at it for what it is, if there's one thing that this presidency did do, is it's brought to light absolutely how divided of a country we are in more ways than one. Which shows how far we've come from like the 50s. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow. And, It's no different than our union. When I look at our union and how far we've come from the days of Walter Reuther to where we're at now, you know, it's getting to the point where we're literally going backwards now instead of forwards. And I say backwards because...
And they're making a whole lot more money now.
Yeah. And if you think when we went through the Ford contract last fall, okay, Ford specifically spells out in their national contract for you to work at one of their corporations, you have to be a union member. That's closed shop status. Haven't heard any about that in the right to work states. I really thought that would have been challenged. So, you know, that's just something that's there. And nobody seems to be talking about that. And that's
right.
Fine. I don't agree with right to work. I think we're at 27 states have right to work states now. I know they brought that up the union meeting that there was a house bill introduced to make basically have a national right to work across the United States. And, some of these people are realizing that right to work doesn't help their state like they thought they did. And so we'll see what happens with that, but it'll be interesting. There are some other things brought up at the union meeting. They were talking about the bill to eliminate the EPA and the bill to do away with the school funding, school board. There were some concerns. And this individual who was giving the report out said, you know, only 25% of the people voted in this last election.
And that's something
I find that hard to believe.
No, it was.
Yeah.
It was a little more than that, but it's still not what this country should be.
Right. Right.
Not at all. Not even close.
No. No, it's not. And, anyway, there's been all sorts of stuff going on this last week in automotive news, so to say. Mary Barra is leaving General Dynamics Board of Directors. That was reported out by the Washington Bureau Business Journal. And I'll save you a little bit of time into it. I did read the article. I did put it in the comment. She got a total compensation of $1.24 million. From General Dynamics. So, just, you know.
Not bad. You've got mail. Uh-oh.
I guess that the $70 million wasn't enough, you know, or 14 or $17 million or whatever she's making now. But she's leaving the board. Had nothing to do with policy. I think she's just busy. People are talking about Ford stocks. That if you're investing in Ford, it could be a bad investment right now. And when you, as we talked about just a little bit ago, Ford is going to be building a new Lincoln SUV in China by 2019.
New SUV.
Yes. And that was reported out by the Detroit News. They said that plan to produce an all-new SUV in China by the end of 2019. They said they will be in a partnership joint venture with Chinese manufacturer Changan Automobile Group, according to the Lincoln spokesperson said Deep. China requires foreign automakers to partner with Chinese companies in a joint venture to manufacture cars of Chinese soil, which we knew with General Motors, and then whatever their net profit is, they split that net profit by half with the Chinese government. So they wouldn't go into detail about the SUV. All they said it would be brand new. They said that it will be sold exclusively in China. They said the Lincoln products and ownership in China is resonating with the customers. They also said that Lincoln will continue to export from North America for Chinese customers. They're building They're going to be exporting a brand new Lincoln Continental late as of last year. And they have not been exporting the country, or they have been exporting the country for a few years. So they're also going to be sending some F-150 Raptors to China, making the first time automakers exported a U.S.-built F-Series truck to the country.
Wow. So, I just got a bunch of mail. You heard it. It's like 800 and something emails. And I hurried down to see if we had any. We got one from Dick Dangin. It said, GM's huge supply of inventory. At the end of February, GM had 900,681 cars and light trucks. Wow. That's quite...
I'm going to guess that that's probably about 100 to 110 day, 112 day supply.
Don't ask me. I don't know how they figure that out, brother.
That's a lot. And does that, you know, and then that doesn't include what the in-transit numbers are.
And the he also sent me this. I don't know what happened to my mail. I thought I was doing good keeping up on it. I guess it got hung up somewhere. I tried to change it to something, and I guess it didn't work. Anyway, United States, let's see. NLRB finds employees' Facebook post critical of union protected. So if you're writing something that's against the UAW or a union, it's protected.
You're protected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dick. I appreciate this. I want to copy this. Hey, Dick knows this stuff, man. He's got it. He's got it together. He knows this stuff.
I didn't know they had such a large day supply.
No.
Of inventory.
Wow. I didn't either. That's a lot.
Right. Usually when we get that big of a day of inventory, usually you see large incentives.
Well, I know one truck.
On the vehicle.
I don't know. It was a GM truck. I wasn't even paying attention. And it was 5,500, I think it was, off the sticker.
Wow.
Yeah, something else. Something else is going on with it, too, but I can't remember. I want to thank Dick Dangin for sending that information. I'm sorry my mail takes freaking ever. I was trying to switch it to another type of mail, but it screwed up. Or I screwed up, probably, most likely. I do these things. I'm not good at this computer stuff.
Right.
Find a show.
There are some people that are talking about the gas, the regulations for the fleet cars and trucks. They average 36 miles in real world driving by 2025, which is about 10 miles a gallon over what we have right now. And environmentalists are warning that Trump's decision could reverse years of reduced tailpipe emissions. What they're saying is that some of the executives at the fuel economy in Detroit conference were talking about the billions of dollars already being invested in efficient vehicles makes reversing course impractical. And basically, they're not going to back off on this. They're going to keep striving for this.
For sure.
But it does give them some, it gives them a lot more
leeway.
Leeway.
Because they said they couldn't, they already said they couldn't meet the new standard. I forgot what year it was. Was it 2025, 20 something? I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Yeah, 2025. You're right.
They all said they could not meet that goal. And so now they got some leeway. I don't want them to stop working on that. keep going, for God's sake.
Right. Ford's going to also invest $644 million in its Solaris vehicle assembly operations in Germany, where they make the next generation Focus. I believe that's going to stay there. I don't think that's going to be imported here.
Right.
That was reported out by Detroit News. They were talking about that. And, you know, because of General Motors selling off the Opel brand, they wondered how that was going to, you know, work out.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about them importing that from there to here.
Right.
So,
well,
I just know that's a lot of vehicles.
Yeah.
I will say it's almost a million vehicles. So.
And that was the end of February. No telling what it is now.
Right.
Might be. I just got. He sent that email early, and I just got it. So it very well could be a million. Usually not working all this overtime, but you're not making light duties. Mostly you're making the big boys.
Right. Right.
The money maker.
I know that there are some unhappy people at John Deere right now, or Caterpillar.
Yeah.
And as you know, there was a hush clause. Nobody was, you know, being told anything. And, you know, I think 3 days before they had to vote, they brought the highlights out. And like us, they were saying, how are we supposed to vote on something that we haven't really had time to read, you know, or digest and figure out what's good or bad for us. So,
that's the plan. That was the plan.
Yeah. I think that was all
wrong. I don't trust our membership to vote on the right thing, but I sure as hell don't trust the Solidarity House to do anything right.
Right. Right. Well,
benefits a worker.
Right. And that's hard. There was the Vernon Company ratified a 1-year contract with the UAW with the workers.
Right.
And that was this last week that happened. I posted that today. And other than that, the only other thing I've seen is that there was a death at a Nissan plant, and they're going to be remembering this young man. And this comes in light of Nissan saying how nice of a company they are and how they watch out for people. And they've really just made it. They painted it that they were really nice about how this whole thing went. And when you talk to workers, it was kind of the opposite, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's sad. I mean, because we know what happened. I think it was the video, unfortunately, was in French. We posted it so you guys can watch that and see that. Because the subtitles were in English. And if I remember right, this guy was just getting grilled by this French lady. So, see what happens with that, I guess.
Well, we got 47 people in the switchboard. Too bad you're not in the chat room, because Rebecca Sunnybrook Farm has posted something with some robots. And you can check out what these mechanical marvels can do. So if you wonder why we never get more people in a plant, there's a reason for that. And we never will, again, get to the levels we used to be. I don't care who's the president. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's
technology.
Amazing. Yeah, technology. It's going to knock a hole in that good idea.
Yeah. Speaking of hole in a good idea, the body shop is completely enclosed now. The new body shop is completely enclosed. If we get the lights, they're running more electrical lines now. The floors are poured, and our shop chairman said that it's just a really big building. It's a huge building. And I don't know how that's going to play out with Metal Fab and us. That could be real interesting to see how that plays out.
Yes, it will be.
You know, I'm hearing right now that they pulled the work back out of Metal Fab, and I'm not sure. I haven't talked to anybody from the Metal Fab in a while now, but they're pulling work out. They were making some of the truck parts, and those are back to different stamping facilities now.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They just spent a lot of money here, 4 years ago in the Metal Fab? Remember that was in the Flint and Journal and everything? Remember they pulled floors out, poured new press beds and
but isn't that
stuff's not cheap.
General Motors is famous for doing stupid stuff with money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look what they did at Buick City. I mean, they were building, we're done. What? How many millions did they spend? Was it a paint shop or a body shop? I can't remember. It was one or the other. And just shut the damn whole thing down. And they did quality work.
Well, actually, they had the top quality car in the world.
Dave Yetta is a badass dude. I'm telling you right now.
Well, he was.
He damn
was.
Right.
Yeah.
He was.
Yes. He passed away a few years back.
I know that. His name still carries a lot of weight with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes, it does. He was a very smart individual. And they felt threatened by him, so they blackballed him. Well, it's just how they roll, I guess.
Yeah, because when you're right, they do the stuff like that to you.
Right. Right.
And he was right. And look where we are now. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we've only been doing this, 11 years? God, if we can help one person, I guess it's worth it. But boy, I tell you, sometimes you want to bang your head up against a wall.
Right. In light of the information we just got about the automotive count, General Motors isn't giving up yet. They're going to unveil the all-new version of Buick Regal at a Michigan event next month.
Yeah.
Toothless. And a concession that's declining the sedan market. All the Regal is expected to be a big hatchback, and there might be a Regal station wagon in the works as well. But
a Regal station wagon?
One thing seems to be certain. Yes, a station wagon.
Oh my
the new
God.
Regal isn't likely to be made in the U.S. or Canada. Instead, it will come from either Germany or China.
No, how about Korea? Don't they make anything anymore? They used to make our Le Mans, Pontiac Le Mans back when they, you couldn't even recognize a Le Mans. I used to own one years ago in the 70s, and you just could not, you would not recognize this little thing. It was as small as I think it was smaller than a Vega.
Right. This article was written on March 15th. update on March 16th of this year.
Well,
this article's been written well before that. We know that Adnopol was being sold off. So it doesn't, I'm having a hard time getting my head around this article that's been was put out by the AP, okay, about the Regal coming from Germany when we know General Motors isn't going to have anything to do in Europe anymore. Maybe I'm helping narrow it down where it's going to come from.
Yeah. Right, Rebecca? She's been quiet for a female.
I'm just listening to you guys, and I'm trying to, you know, read and follow up on what you guys are saying as well. Plus, I wanted to show you guys that that video clip too. It's a shame people don't get in that chat room a little more, because you know I come across it like that.
And they get in the switchboard, and I don't even know if they know how to get to. All you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio and look for UAW Factory Whistle Show and click on it, and you'll be. I don't know how. I guess you have to sign up. It doesn't cost you anything to sign up and make some kind of name or something. Is that how it goes, Scott?
Yes. Yeah.
Nope.
You go in and then you have a one time you sign in, and the next time you can sign in again. And as we're talking, I'm looking at this Tim O'Ball versus the is that Kuka or Kaka robot?
It's Kuka.
Speed.
It's Kuka.
Speed. Not Kaka.
Yeah.
Kuka.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah.
Kaka
yeah.
Robot.
It is Kaka. I'm just telling you.
no, we're gonna call it Kuka or whatever. Anything but Kaka.
Probably 3 years ago, Dick Danjan and I talked about this, and Dick had come across a robot that they had set up and on an assembly line. And it would actually say hello to the coworkers and goodbye. And it was fixed. And it had its own footprint.
Didn't Ford have a plant? Was it in Brazil or someplace? I can't remember where, somewhere. And it had very few employees, and they were, this whole plant was like robots, and they were running, mm-hmm. you know, just running cars, trying to build cars through this thing, and a few guys walking around looking at, you know, you got to keep an eye on that stuff. And it was putting these cars together. You know, I believe it was a Ford factory. And
yeah,
they
it was in Brazil.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think it was Brazil.
Yeah, and it, very, very few workers, but a whole lot of robots. And they were doing it. They were building vehicles off that line. So there's your future. And now they're even talking about how are they going to tax a robot? And that's what the next plan will be. How do you tax?
Right. Yeah, you got to pay them.
You think but the company's going to have to pay something on those robots to keep the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all kinds of goodies coming, or you'll have this place, you have this country going to hell in a handbasket without any jobs.
Well, let's figure something out here real quick, if I could do this. Maybe I can't do it. I'm trying to do it. I don't think I'll be able to do it. That really... Really sucks. Oh well. I don't have my stuff available with me. If you just took $16 an hour, let's just go at 40 hours or 1,850 hours times $16, then take that amount times. Well, there is no pensions anymore, but let's just go. 30 years times that amount, and that amount that you have, and then weigh that out at the cost of a robot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because these robots, people don't understand, these robots are very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're very expensive. But over
my husband works on them.
It's going to be a whole lot.
Jeff works on them at Sterling Stamping, and we talked about this. I showed him this video, and he said, do you realize how many hours is in the programming of that? Even just the hand motion that he does, a couple times he does this different kind of hand motion during it. He said, just that alone, days of programming. And so, you know, he, of course, thought it was an interesting video, but was like, that's not realistic. And then he went into very similar stuff like that, that it's not cheap. And you still have to have programmers and people to maintain them. That's what he does at Sterling is
right.
He maintains the robots. You still have to take care of them, but you get rid of your line workers that way. So,
right.
You know,
well, I just
true.
Did $16 an hour times 1,850 hours, which is a little over a year's worth of work, and times that out times 30 years, that comes out to $888,000. That is still about half of what some of these robot is. That's just a robotic arm.
Look at the tangibles. You don't have to pay any health care.
They don't anyway.
You don't have to get no water.
For,
well, yeah, I guess you're right about that. I didn't think about that.
I'm talking about the temporaries. That's
the
wave of the future for General Motors as they get rid of the seniority worker, they're replacing them with temporaries.
Mm-hmm.
And you got national contracts that they can hire a permanent temporary, and they don't get anything. I mean, it's in the national contract. You know, they get after a year, they get some limited health care. They don't get optical. They don't get dental. They don't have a pension. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the cost effective of, I'm just trying to make the case here, a cost effective, like one robot, just one, in one of those cells like we have in the body shop. And when there's multiple robots in there that do multiple things, but just that one, you know, is, you know, 1.6, 1.7 million. And, you know, how many robots do you have in each cell, you know? And
right.
you figure that out cost effective. The Japanese have figured it out that as their robots are dying, they're actually replacing them with people again. So, go figure, you know.
Well, let's hope that's the way it's going to be. But, well, we got 90 seconds.
Anyway,
nobody puts one on the keypad.
All right.
Young lady.
Yeah. It's been a great show.
It was nice talking to you guys again. And,
well, it's nice talking to you, Rebecca, and we'll see you, what, a month or two? We're going to take the summer off. Before we take off the summer, it'd be great.
I will. You know, I really had a hard time recuperating. It really took me a couple weeks, and then I've just been trying to get my stuff. I'm trying to get, you know, back to work and see what I got to do.
I got you. That's okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, Scott.
So I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah,
all right.
I heard that 3 weeks ago. How about you, Scott? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
A birdie was in my window.
All right, we'll plan on seeing you next week.
Yes, we'll plan on it. I would swear to it. No, I'm just kidding you. You take care of yourself. Whatever you need to do, we're always here. We always here.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, what is this? Okay, hold on. I run a line of 16 robots and one line arm and more to be added. One line over, I don't know what that means, 12 robots and four more, two lines over. Wow. Cherokee Bill sent that in. Damn, that's a lot of robots. I don't know what department where that would. It's either body shop or paint. Would it be paint? Body
Could
shop.
Be.
I don't know. That's
Could
a lot
paint.
Of robots. Yeah. Well.
Yep.
Damn, that's something.
And the other thing you have to add to the robotics is this, like kind of what Rebecca was talking about, the husband and programming or working or fixing on them, is their downtime on them. It's very expensive when you don't have people there and you have robots and something happens with a power surge or the robot goes haywire for whatever reason, they're down. And now you don't have a body there to pick up a gun and start spraying or assembling or welding things. Downtime is very costly, and you know that has to be included in the price of that unit too. So, just things to look at, I guess.
Well, it's not caca, Scott. I don't care how you look at it. That's
it's
not
kuka.
It's kuka.
Kuka.
They're down here with us in Toledo.
No. We can't send any more Michiganders to the Buckeye State. Thank you. Yep, you have a good one, bud. And I'm talking to somebody else. Okay.
See you guys later.
We need to
hold on here.
Have a good night. Well, hang on. We're getting ready to wrap her up.
Is there any words in this this revenge thing? Or are they?
No.
I'll play it if there is. If there's not, it doesn't make any sense. You can go to YouTube and type in the Revenge Timo Boll, B-O-L-L, versus, what is it, Scott?
Kuka.
Kuka, K-U-K-A, Kuka.
Kuka, where you get caca. What a dumbass. Anyway, he's my brother from another mother. I love him. What the hell can I do with him? I've been with him so long. Married. All right. On behalf of Rebecca, Scott, Brian, me, you, and everybody else in the Hee Haw world, thank you for downloading the show. We had great numbers last week. Great numbers coming in this week. Still have 47 in the switchboard. Next time, please push one on your keypad if you would like to participate, or you can go into the chat room and say hi to Rebecca. Okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm always there.
Tell
there
them.
There you go.
Tell them these people are missing out.
Yep.
I know she's from Ohio, but hey, we'll cut her some slack. Come on. She can't help where she's from. So she tries to claim Michigan as her home base, but we know better. We know better. But on behalf of everybody from the Factory Whistle Show, thank you very much for listening, downloading, and all kinds of things. Send emails at faxerfirst, faxerfirst@aol.com. Hopefully it'll get to me. I wouldn't promise anything, but if I tinker with the damn thing, it might be a month from now I'll get it, but I'll eventually get it. So email us at questions. Scott can answer, Rebecca can answer, or Brian can answer, or maybe I can even take a stab at it. Who knows? Right?
There you go.
Back me up here.
Right.
Sounds good.
All right. You Absolutely. All have a thing. Safe week. Rebecca, get some rest. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you all next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Factory Whistle Show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.